The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright, such as no one on earth could brighten them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. My last day of living in Jerusalem smelled a bit like cat litter. And it smelled like that because one of the last things that my wife and I did that morning in July 2022 was to take the cat litter box to the trash bins a half block away. I remember all too well the smell of that nasty box and the feeling of dumping it into the trash bins. And I also remember shedding tears, not over the litter box, but over what that final walk to the trash signified. This was it. This was the end. 15 minutes later, as we loaded our suitcases and George the cat into the car that would take us to the airport, I watched as Brittany walked back to our house, and reaching up, she held a bit of the glorious jasmine that grew by the front door, and she breathed it in. The scent that guided us, greeted us every time we came home to that house. And then we got into the car and went to the airport, the scent of jasmine lingering in the air and in our hearts. Leaving a place or a moment of significance is never easy. Whether it's moving to a new country or ending a relationship or changing jobs, or driving away from the site where you've just laid a loved one to rest, there's always the sense that half of your heart will remain there. Some of us have had that experience too many times in life, and maybe we wonder, in how many pieces can my heart be broken? How many places can my heart live at the same time? When I read the account of Jesus transfigured on the mountaintop before the disciples, I always have great compassion for them. Because of course they wanted to stay on that mountain. Of course they wanted to build a couple of tiny houses and hang out with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Of course, because on the mountain, things made sense. On the mountain, Jesus made sense. On the mountain, his teachings and especially his strange predictions that he would be arrested and killed and then resurrected made sense, or at least they were easier to comprehend. Jesus, they heard the voice from the clouds tell them, was not just their friend or their teacher, but was the Son of God, the Beloved. So yes, let's stay right here. Let's preserve this moment. Let's not change a thing. But of course, the disciples did not and could not stay in that moment. Nobody had time to build a cabin and vacation with the prophets on the mountain. Soon, scripture tells us the disciples were going down the mountain, back into the world with Jesus by their side. Soon, they were in the neighboring towns and villages continuing the work of casting out demons and sharing with the hungry and spreading the good news that God had come near. I can only imagine their thoughts in their downtime, thinking back to the sights and the sounds and maybe even the smells of the mountain where they had been with Jesus. This last week, I had a very long coffee conversation with Pastor Robin Lutjehan, who is our colleague at Faith Lutheran down the road. Pastor Robin, as a good German, loves his coffee. We had far too many. I didn't sleep at all that night. Most of you will remember that on the afternoon of Easter Sunday, 2023, Faith Lutheran's beautiful building, crafted by Swedish immigrants in the early 1900s, went up in flame. The steeple, which was an iconic part of the neighborhood's character, had to be removed. The building is a total loss. He told me that the demolition alone of what's left is going to cost $500,000. Nevertheless, Pastor Robin shared that their community is committed to staying in their neighborhood. And now they are grappling with, what will a new church building look like? What will we build? There is no recreating the beautiful woodwork that those Swedish immigrants created back in the day. There will not be a steeple. There probably won't be a church bell. In other words, it's impossible for Faith Lutheran to go back up the mountain and to recreate what was, even though half of their hearts will always be there in that building with those memories. Now Jesus is calling them to something new. Now, Pastor Robin said, the congregation is deep in the process of envisioning what comes next. What will the new Faith Lutheran Church look like? He told me one of the plans involves building affordable housing with a church that resides inside of it. One of the plans is to build a much smaller building on the footprint they have and then have a giant community garden for everyone around them. It won't look the same. It won't feel the same. But whatever the final plans look like, what is clear is that Faith Lutheran will literally rise from the ashes. Their church building may have been destroyed on Easter Day, but with Jesus, their community is already resurrected and resurrecting. Amen? Now, of course, one of the reasons Robin and I were meeting to talk about this is that because our congregation, UniLu, is also in the process of choosing a renovation plan. Our building needs some loving care. And for several years now, the We Are Called team, which we now are calling the We Are Ready team, has been praying and thinking about how to care for this church, this building. It's been a long process and not always easy. No one anticipated a pandemic in the middle of the process. And of course, then you called a brand new pastor to try to catch up with the efforts that had already been done. And so all of it takes time. But the exciting news is that soon, very soon, there will be an actual plan that you can see. A 3D visual that will walk us through the possibilities that we might have in this space. It's exciting and also terrifying. We might just want to stay the same. We might like things to look the same. We might like to just patch things up and make do, as UniLu always does. We're good at that. We might, in other words, like to remain on the mountain where we know how things work, where we can see Jesus clearly, and where we understand things. But one of the beautiful things that Pastor Robin said to me the other day is that for Faith Lutheran, the unexpected blessing of that devastating fire is that they see Jesus clearly. And therefore, by extension, they see themselves clearly. They now know without a doubt that a building does not define them. They know now without a doubt that the church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is the people. Amen? And they know that they are not alone. Their neighbors, including the synagogue and the mosque and the Pentecostal church in the neighborhood, have come through for them in profound ways. Through their loving care, their neighbor's loving care, Jesus has been transfigured before them. They see Jesus clearly now. Dear ones, we don't need a devastating fire to see Jesus clearly. Jesus is showing up in this church and in this world and in our lives every single day. Jesus is walking with us down the mountain through the changes in our lives, through the endings and all the beginnings. And part of that journey, part of that discipleship journey is going to mean changes in this building that we love. Scripture tells us that the disciples were terrified when they saw Jesus transfigured before them. They were terrified, and of course they were. Of course they were. It's okay to be terrified when we see things clearly. It's okay to be scared of change. And also, Jesus said, "Be not afraid, for I am with you." Jesus was with Peter, James, and John on that mountain. And Jesus was with them when they were walking down the mountain and back into the cities. He was with them on the road. He is with us at this table. And he is with us as we prayerfully consider what comes next for this sacred space built by our ancestors in the faith. Remember I started the sermon with cat litter? I will probably never do that again. Probably not a good idea. But I want to end with another memory. A few weeks after leaving Jerusalem, when Brittany and I drove up to the apartment on Newport Road where we now live, we were met by our new landlord. She opened the door for us, and there, in an almost empty apartment, was a bouquet of flowers to welcome us. And it wasn't jasmine, but it looked lovely, and it smelled lovely, and it made us feel at home, because we are. And thanks be to God that Jesus accompanied us all the way to this new home. Thanks be to God for Jesus, crucified and risen, beloved of the Creator, who accompanies each of us throughout our lives, through all our endings and beginnings, whose steadfast love endures forever, and who makes himself known in ways simple and profound. And now, because it's the last time we can do it until Easter, alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.